You may be seated. Our next passage of Scripture comes from the epistles. I'll be reading from Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verses 15 through 20. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of the things that's clear to me at this stage in my life, after having lived and worked in a number of communities, is the notion that each of these communities has its own personality, if you will. The people there live life in unique ways. Sometimes there are commonalities, certainly, but at other times there are special ways. Beverly Ross, who is the executive director of the Wise County Christian Counseling Center here, has put this a number of ways. I enjoy listening to Beverly as she talks about her faith experiences with her family situation, but also in her words of encouragement as a professional counselor. She says, out here in Wise County, she says, we do really well living together. We do life together well, she says, out here. And I think it's this kind of connectional feel that the people out here in this part of the world kind of experience with one another. This kind of feeling that we're all in this together, and that when we live life in that sense, as we come together, we can be those words, those people who offer words of encouragement to those around us who may not be having the best of days, but together we are so much better off. I think it's true that many of us search for happiness or joy in a number of different ways. Happiness to you can look a little differently than happiness from your neighbor or the person seated beside you. You look for pleasure in different ways. You experience fun in different ways. And yet, so many of us, it seems, don't ever find that great joy in life. I think it's true that for some, the harder we search, the worse life seems to be. It's almost as if those who search the hardest have the most unhappy lives. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? I think back to some of the biblical writers. When we open up the book of Ecclesiastes, we kind of have to put together this notion that perhaps it's Solomon. Does everybody remember that name, Solomon? One of the wisest men of ever. The gift that Solomon received was that gift of wisdom. And yet, if he is the writer, and I assume he is the writer of Ecclesiastes, in those first couple of chapters, we hear the writer saying, meaningless, meaningless, he says, utter meaningless. And he's talking about life. Now, for someone who is so wise, let's consider, because I do believe Solomon is the writer of Ecclesiastes, some of the things that Solomon pursued as he's reporting to the audience. Why life seems so meaningless. Well, he started with happiness. He began to pursue happiness, and he thought happiness equated to knowledge. So for the writer, the more knowledge I get, the happier I'm going to be. At least that's what he thought. And he found out that wasn't the case, that there was no real nobility, if you will, in just gaining knowledge. So he turned his attention to sensual pleasures. That became the next focus as he looked toward happiness. And there was no happiness there in that laughter. So then he turned toward alcohol. He said he would drink more wine and be cheerful in the drinking of alcohol. And there was nothing there to cheer himself up with. Then he turned to constructive activities. Solomon is known for all the building activities he went to. He builds the temple. He builds houses. He built parks. He built vineyards. And that didn't do it for him. And he turns to wealth and to sex. And he finds none of the happiness that he's looking for. And yet here is one of the wisest men in all of history. And everything is meaningless, he concludes. Well, you and I, as the writer of Ephesians tells us, we don't need to be foolish. As followers of Christ, as ones who face tight ropes in life, as I tried to instill in the children, we have this greater joy in life to pursue. We have the one who came into the world to show us how to live wisely, to show us how to better live, if you will. The writer of Ephesians says, folks, the times are short, they are evil. Well, in the first century church, we see this in not only in Ephesians, not only in Colossians, but in many of the letters that Paul wrote, there is this sense that Jesus is coming back at any moment. And so they had this understanding, at least in those first few years of the emerging church, that they didn't have to tolerate much for very long because Jesus was coming back. And when he returned, that is when all of life would be transformed. That is when the greatest joy that they could ever hope for would occur. And so the writer sees time as being short, but as the Apostle Paul also understood, there is this great force beyond ourselves, this force that is described as evil, that we have to contend with. But in the midst of short time, in the midst of the presence and power of evil, the writer tells us not to live foolishly, but to live smartly. Live carefully. Live wisely. And he says we need to understand the Lord's will. Well, for someone new to the faith, for someone who is looking at Christians perhaps and trying to figure out why are Christians different than the rest, it is this desire that we have by the grace of God to understand God's will for our lives. And the writer here doesn't try to help us fully understand what God's will is, but it reminds us of our need as individuals and our need as a corporate body, the church, to provide opportunities for people to learn what God's will is for us. To not understand that God has a set of blueprints for us, for each and every person, but to understand that God has this desire for an ongoing relationship with us. To be nurtured regularly, to be in relationship, to know that Jesus is our Christ, the one who came into the world for us. And to grow in that understanding, to gain that knowledge and to grow, and as our vision statement again reminds us, to go on to give and to serve. We are invited to live wisely. But too many of us turn to the wrong habits. You know, this past, well, I guess it was week before last now, I may have lost my dates. Our sheriff here in Wise County hosted a community gathering to talk about the scourge of methamphetamine. And he can speak from personal knowledge because he is the one who oversees the jail, all of the people incarcerated here in Wise County. And Sheriff Aiken's estimate is that there are 85% of the inmates, either directly or indirectly, are in our county jail somehow connected to methamphetamine use. Too many of us are looking for ways out, ways to get around the problems of life that we just need to understand we're here to deal with. But by the grace of God, as I told the children, we can find courage and strength to face those challenges. There are plenty of us that make bad choices in our lives. There are plenty of us that pick the wrong people to be around and thereby witness their behaviors and sometimes find ourselves susceptible to following their patterns. There are relationship issues among us. Too many of us looking for quick fixes in relationships. The divorce rate continues to skyrocket instead of remembering those commitments we made to the other part of our marriage covenant. We are called to be Christ followers. We are called and expected to live as Christ lived. And that means sometimes we must keep our distance from those rocky places in life. But if we don't know where else to turn, if we don't grow in our understanding and our knowledge, then we're ill prepared, you see, to make those decisions. And so we need to find our faith. We need to understand how much God loves us and invites us to learning more about God and ourselves. Chuck Swindoll, that great pastor and author, talked about a scam in New York City years ago. A few con men decided they wanted to make a little extra money. They gathered up old newspaper and some bubble wrap and a few bricks and rocks. They had a stack of stolen Macy's shopping bags and had some stickers that they stole that said factory sealed. They wrapped up those rocks and bricks and that bubble wrap and stuffed newspaper in some boxes. They put factory sealed on those boxes and they stuck them in Macy sacks and went down to the Holland Tunnel at rush hour there in New York City. And as the traffic began to slow, those con men would approach the slowed or stopped cars and offered to sell to the drivers Sony Handycams, regularly priced $999, but right here on the street corner, $99. Take it or leave it. And many people turned from those con men, but a few hesitated, and the con men would say, okay, last chance, $49. And many paid the $49 and $50 and received their sack that had bricks and rocks in it. Later on, those con men were asked, didn't you feel bad about selling rocks and bricks to those people? And their reply was no. They knew they were hot. And somebody who would buy hot items has larceny in their heart. That's from a con man, the wisdom of a con man, who can look into my heart, your heart, every person's heart. You see, we can blame it on others, but if our heart hasn't found that place of faith, then we're in a difficult and challenging situation. We are to be filled instead, the writer says, by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit that works with our spirit. And the writer says we together should be singing hymns and songs and praising God. That's how we are to communicate with ourselves and with others. To be people who encourage one another. To remind not only ourselves but those around us of the power and presence of God in our daily lives. In 2008, a mother, an Australian mother by the name of Haley Bartholomew. Haley Bartholomew's friends were envious of her life. She had a husband who seemed to love her, children who adored her, and yet Haley Bartholomew admitted that she was discouraged. She was feeling really down. She didn't know what her purpose was in life. And instead of just giving up on it, she contacted a Catholic nun. And this Catholic nun said, somehow, Haley, every day in your life, if you will just be intentional about finding something that you can be thankful for, a moment of gratitude, in other words, if you can do that, see if your life doesn't begin to change. See if you don't find some purpose. See if you don't find greater joy in that task. Haley Bartholomew took the challenge, you see. And she got her camera. She was worried that she would miss some of those moments. So she began to take pictures of things going on in the life of the family. She noticed as she looked at pictures of her husband as he served her pie, she was receiving a bigger piece of pie than he was. She thought, that's a sign of a husband who loves. I get the bigger share. She looked at her children and she noticed how her children came to her with outstretched hands and arms. Children that loved their mother unconditionally. Haley called her challenge the 365 gratitude. That's the challenge she used. She found her purpose. Her purpose was to share as God had shared. To be a person of gratitude, giving thanks to God for all that God has done, including God's gift of a son, so that we can live this wise life here in Wise County. So that we can live faithfully even as we face the challenges of life. Friends, as we prepare ourselves to come to this, our Lord's table this morning, Open your heart again to that notion that God is at work in your life. And maybe you'll choose something like the 365 gratitude challenge, as Haley did. Or maybe you have some other means of remembering all that God is doing for you. But give thanks. Sing those spiritual hymns, those psalms. Be a person of thanksgiving and prayer. Pray to God regularly, not just for the things that you think you need, but be in prayer and thankfulness for what God has given you already and what God has promised for your futures. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.